What is shaking, everybody? Welcome to the Wind Up Podcast. I am your host, Mike of MTGA Wines, and we are in the vacation hangover episode this week. After being back in the States for a week and a half, I think my body is finally adjusted to the time zone. It is okay not being filled with pasta and just overflowing with wine at this point, although it still might be kind of in that state. And we are ready to get back into the action. As with any post-vacation haze, I think many of us have experienced it. There's that little bit of the hangover, like, oh, I wish I was still there. Why do I have to play catch-up and answer all these emails and all these things? But we persevere so that we can plan the next trip. So that's officially the stage that we are in. Before we get into things, this episode, we're going to dive into a little bit about that trip, kind of where we were, what we did, and hopefully give you a little bit of like a insider's in, you know, view of how people in wine and hospitality travel. And it's going to be pretty interesting. It's going to be something that I think you don't, or that you're not going to expect, which is why I wanted to bring it up. We also had a bunch of questions from many of you who listen to the show, also other club members and folks on our mailing list who are like, hey, we're planning a trip. How do we do this? Where do we go? What do you recommend? This, that, the other thing. And I figured with all that feedback, we might as well do a full episode on it and be like, hey, here's like the laundry list of stuff and how we approach these things and really what, you know, we as, you know, wine professionals do when we're traveling, not for work, but for pleasure. So we're going to dive into all that. Before we do, only a couple of announcements. One, again, thank you all so much for following, subscribing to the show. Please continue sharing it with all your friends, family, wine-loving colleagues, whatever that may be. Follow us on all of our social networks at MTGA Wines. We're most active on YouTube, as well as Instagram. We are on the Book of Face and the social network formerly known as Twitter, but a little bit less so. But you can find us on any one of those. Be sure to head to mtgawines.com if you want to subscribe to our mailing list, give you some more wine-specific content about our wines, what we do, events that we're hosting around the country, all kinds of good stuff that we have going on. You can find out a lot more information about our label and kind of who we are, what we do, all that stuff on our website. All right, without any further ado, let's get into it, shall we? Traveling as someone in the wine industry. And I think this is something that a few of you asked. It was either sliding into our DMs on Instagram as we were posting things, getting text messages. It was just a barrage of like, hey, we're planning trips. Hey, we're doing this. Hey, we're here. And it was great to hear from all of you. It really was. And I want to try and dive into kind of like how we structured the trip. We did have like one main focal point that was kind of important because we were there for a wedding, which we were very thankful to be invited, and just an absolute blast to be able to be there to celebrate the happy couple. Big congrats to Justin and Monica. But there's a lot of other stuff that kind of went into it that we kind of wanted to bookend the trip with. So we're going to get into that. Realistically, this is probably what's going to surprise you, is that many of you asked, you know, where do we need to go? What wineries did you visit? What tours did you do? What was the like full itinerary? And I'll be completely honest with you. We didn't really have one. We had a kind of an open-ended schedule. And not like open-ended, like we're just going to be abroad until we decide to come back. But, you know, we basically had cities or locales that we knew we were going to be around. And once we were there, we're like, okay, let's figure it out. And that is really, I think, where we find a lot of joy in travel. But there is some structure, and we'll kind of dive into how we structure it. I probably should mention where we were in the first place, because some of you know, but maybe some of you don't. For those that don't follow us on, you know, some of our other social networks that I mentioned previously. But we were in Italy. It had been a little bit, it had been 2 years since we were able to travel abroad. We did a wine cruise in the Mediterranean in July and August of 2022. And it was hot as shit. but it was so much fun. It was such an absolute blast. We were on, we used the Oceania Cruise Line. I can't remember what boat we were on. I think it was the Nautica. And it was 600 people, no kids. There's like 300 staff. So for basically every, you know, two couples have like their own person, in essence, that helps you out. You get to be friends with them. You get to be friends with a lot of other people on the boat. We had an amazing time. I think there were about 30 or 35 of us in our group. And that was the last time we went abroad. We actually started in Italy. We were in Venice for a couple of days and then ended up going to Trieste to jump on the boat. So I guess kind of appropriate that we ended up back in Italy for this trip to kind of explore more of that country. Now, I'll be honest, Italy, and especially when it comes to Italian wine, is an Achilles heel of mine. Honestly, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of Italian wine. I like it. It's good. It doesn't offend me. I will drink it. But because of its reliance on the cuisine that it's kind of meant to go with, I think it's tough to consume on a regular basis here in the good old US of A, unless you happen to have a really great like mom and pop shop in your town that does killer authentic like Italian cuisine, like in the old country, that makes it a little easier. But if you're in, you know, a place that it's mostly American and French cuisine, maybe more Americanized Italian, it doesn't necessarily track. You also have to keep in mind, like many wines that are exported and many products that are exported out of countries, you're not necessarily getting the best stuff. There are some high-end Italian wines you can find in the US, no doubt, but the stuff that's really good stays in the country or maybe stays within Europe somewhere. It stays a lot closer to home. So our experience here is muted a little bit, and even more so on the West Coast. The option of finding really great imports here on the West Coast is a far more daunting task than it is on the East Coast because you're just closer to it back east. It's easier for those distributors and for those wine reps to get wine there than it is to ship it a couple thousand more miles all the way over to us. So, you know, I'm making some excuses, but as a result of all those things, I'm not super familiar with Italian wine. I'm not super, you know, go big or go home with it. I'm like, it's good, it's fine. Nothing wrong with it. But I've never really had the door kicked down for me when it comes to Italian wine. And I've had some high-end Italian wines. And realistically, my favorite wines from that part of the world come from Sicily, which if you ask Sicilians, they're not Italian. So it's a different thing. Don't you forget it. So remember that. And I love Sicilian wines. They're amazing. It's probably my favorite. It's one of those regions that right now I'm like wanting to drink as much of it as I possibly can because it just struck a chord with me and I'm thrilled to be getting to know those wines now. But the mainland of Italy, the boot there, man, I am far behind. I just do not know enough about it. And it's tough because there's so many small villages. There's so many little things and quirks to try and, you know, memorize or track down. It's one of those, even as a winemaker, it feels like, shoot, I need to do another level of, you know, sommelier or WSET training to actually really start to understand what this country has to offer. Now, I'm not saying you need to do that. It probably, especially the WSET training, would probably help if you're really trying to get geeky about a particular region. That's something that would likely do you a solid. But as someone that hasn't done that, when I'm in a country like that, that I'm not super familiar with the wines, but know that, yeah, I enjoy them, it's like, all right, I'm a kid in a candy shop. I'm like, I'm just going to try a little bit of everything and see where we end up. So for that reason, we kind of frame these trips, you know, when we're not super familiar with an area. It's like, let's just kind of get lost in there and see what we find and go from there. So when we made our way across the pond, we started in Milan for a couple of days, actually a city that neither Brittany nor I had ever spent any time in, which we were pleasantly surprised. A lot of fun that we had in Milan. We then took the train down to Florence for just a quick, you know, half a day, basically, before renting a car and driving into Chianti. I'll tell you my driving in Florence story here in a little bit as well, which is an interesting place to drive a vehicle, especially a motor vehicle of probably bigger than it needed to be size when it comes to those small Italian streets. Anyway, we'll get there. Actually, this was a total thought that I had. This is going to be probably one of a couple digressions that I take during this episode, but this was something that I realized, and I don't really know if this is a uniquely American thing or if there are other countries that do this as well, but like Florence in particular or Milan, that's not the names of those cities. It's Firenze and Milano, right? Like, I'm probably butchering. There's someone who knows Italian or is Italian. Like, that's not how you say that. But it's not Florence and it's not Milan. It's Milano and it's Firenze. And for some reason, we're just like, no, it's Florence and it's Milan, y'all. That's how we say it in this here country. And I don't know why that is. And there's been a couple of times now I've said, since spending time there, I've said Firenze back home, and they're like, and someone's like, wait, Florence? I'm like, yes, it's Florence, but this is how you say the name of the city. Like, that's the name of it. Florence is like our, never mind. And I don't know if that's like a uniquely American thing. I was like, I took German in college, and it's like, it's not Munich, it's München, right? But we don't call it München, it's Munich. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if that's a uniquely American thing. I don't know if it's just a uniquely English thing where we're like, hey, we got to find a simpler, maybe slightly dumber way to say these cities' names because we're just not going to pronounce them correctly. So we're just going to do our own thing. I don't know. It's weird. I thought about it a lot on this trip. Spent way more brain, my brain was spent way too much time on thinking about that during this trip. But being in Milan, being in Florence, it was like, why am I calling like those? Like, that's not the name of the city. The name of the city in Italian is Milano and Firenze. Like, they're not hard to say, they're not that hard to commit to memory either. You get to maybe some of those German cities, like we're talking about München. You're like, okay, well, that's you add a little flair with a little umlaut in there, things get a little bent up over there. But, this other stuff's not too hard. Anyway, I digress. It was just kind of a weird thought. Where was I? Shoot. This is what happens when you haven't done an episode in a while. I've noticed this about this show. When I haven't done an episode in a little bit, I'm still very much like vacation brain. Like, I'm getting back into things. This week in particular, last week was a blur. Just, jet lag, time zone change, not eating pasta, 11 o'clock at night and staying out far too late. But we're getting back into it a little bit. Where was I? Anyway, traveling through all these cities, and we had been to, Brittany and I had actually been to Florence before on our honeymoon, but that was 5 years ago. So it was, and we spent a few days there, which was great. It's still probably one of my favorite cities in the world that I've been to. It is very touristy, at least sections of it are, which you might expect. There's amazing architecture, art, history. It's a ridiculously beautiful city. A great place. But realistically, on this trip, that was the only place I had been to before. It was the only place I felt, it's not like I was uncomfortable in other places, but there are familiar things. Like, there were streets I recognized. We were right next to a bar and like a kebab place that I knew through friends that we actually met up with in Florence. There was a sandwich shop that we drove by mistakenly because the street was literally wall to wall people, and I might have had to use the bumper of the car, but no one stopped me, so I figured it was all right. But as a result, you have kind of that one hub, and you're like, okay, well, we know we're going to be somewhere familiar. Let's go check out some other stuff. And that's when we started in Milano. And then, never had been into Chianti, which is just the beautiful rolling hills. It is very California kind of wine country, Napa-esque, where it is actually like mostly forested, and you have these little kind of outcroppings of towns and vineyards kind of just sparsely, but also all over the place as you're driving through that part of the countryside. Highly recommended. It's just absolutely gorgeous. It's stunning. We were the closest town to us when we were in Chianti. We were staying at a place called Castelvecchi, I think. This great villa kind of right outside of Rada in Chianti, this little town that's out there. And then back to Florence for a, see, there I am. See, now that I brought up the city name thing, I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm thinking about it. So back to Florence for a full like day and a half so we could really kind of hang out, walk around, be in that city for a while. And in all these places, like we kind of knew the itinerary. That was what I was getting to, is that it's not like we didn't have a plan. It's not like we didn't have like cities on the itinerary. Like we knew where we were going to be, but we didn't necessarily have like a boatload of reservations. We didn't necessarily even have dinner or lunch reservations every day. We definitely didn't have any winery reservations. It was just a let's go around and see what kind of trouble we can get into. And that might be a little surprising for some of you, because those of you that have met Brittany the HBIC, you know she's a planner. She loves herself a schedule. She loves herself an itinerary. But European Brittany is a little different than United States Brittany, I've come to find out. It's a little bit more free-flowing, but with certain kind of like points that you're trying to hit. So when we're in a certain city, and with, let's say we're in Milan, and we're like, hey, we got to go see their cathedral, their Duomo, this amazing Gothic cathedral that's there. And it's just, it's nuts. It's just absolutely crazy. Like, I'm not by any means an architecture buff, but when you see something from, you know, hundreds of years of construction that is standing like in this city square, you're like, sheesh, it's crazy. Just absolutely crazy. So we would have that as like, hey, we're going to walk from our hotel, which we are staying near the train station, Milano Centrale. And we were going to walk there, which was, you know, maybe a 30-minute walk, like nothing crazy. But it's like, we'll walk through the city and we'll see what kind of, you know, what we see. And it's a lot of shopping, as you might expect, is probably the, you know, a big like fashion capital. Milan has got shop after shop after shop of whatever you need, including all the big like brand names, but some other like cool stuff as well. But we would have that one like hub of like, hey, we're going to get to the cathedral and then we're going to see where we end up from there. And, you know, basically we'd sit down somewhere, grab a drink, grab an espresso, grab a little bite to eat, you know, jump on the phone for a quick minute and be like, okay, like what else is nearby? And we're like, all right, you know what? We walk down this other street and there's this castle that's like down the way. Let's go to that castle, that fort, whatever that is. Let's go check that out. And we get there, cruise through it. We actually walk through the museum, like hung out for a little bit, walked outside in this beautiful park. I cannot remember the name of the park, but sat down at a little picnic table, had a beer, just hung out for a little bit. And then we were like, all right, what's near here? Let's go back towards this direction. And we, you know, have this kind of nice little hub of a place that we want to go to. And then we move around from there. And that's really how we do things. I almost assumed that when we got down to Chianti, just because of us being in the industry and traveling with a few other folks that are also into wine and in the industry here in Napa, that it might be a little bit more rigorous. Like we would have a little bit more of an itinerary. And surprisingly enough, I don't think any of us really did. We knew like, hey, as we're going out into Chianti, Siena is on the way. Let's go stop into Siena. We'll be there for, you know, we got a couple hours to kill before we can check in to our next stop. So let's leave Firenze and let's get down to Siena and see what's going on. And so we stopped there, had a great sandwich, more than a few bottles of wine, and then continued on our way. Actually found an amazing wine shop, which oddly enough, I think, and what we were told, has probably the best champagne selection in the whole region. We heard that from multiple people as we're like, oh, did you end up in his wine shop? And I cannot remember the name of it. But I'll be posting an entire list of like stuff that we did in the comments, or sorry, in the description. So if you're looking for like a cheat sheet of things that we did in places you went, you can find that in the description of the video. I probably should have said that at the very beginning for those of you that didn't want to sit through this whole thing. But you're getting it now. So, there you go. So we just kind of stumbled into these places. And then when we're at the villa, you know, we were able to go over to Rada, which was maybe a 7-minute, 10-minute drive at best. This great, great little town. Had arguably the best meal of the trip there at this amazing wine shop/restaurant. Just killer. The owner actually did a wine tasting for us at the villa as well, brought some, you know, some examples of wines from the Chianti area. So we got kind of an introduction to him and some of the wines, and then eventually went to his place of business. We're like, let's have lunch, let's try some more wines, and let's do a whole bunch of like other stuff, which was just an absolute blast. And then the days at the villa, I mean, that's when the wedding festivities were kicking in. So it was like a lot of like pool time, hanging out, carrying on. We played some Mafia in the courtyard, which very apropos, I suppose, since we're hanging out in Italy. And then, you know, we ended up making our way back to Florence after the wedding festivities, which again, kind of being the familiar city that we knew, it was like, okay, we kind of know where we're at. We know where the major landmarks are. We know the food that we want to eat and the places we want to go, or at least the neighborhoods we want to be in. So let's just cruise around. And for those, you know, that day and a half or so that we were there, it was like, all right, we have a lunch stop the next day. We got dinner tonight. And outside of that, we're just wandering around, kind of enjoying the liveliness that that city has to offer. It's a way of traveling and a way of exploring cities that I've become very accustomed to. I used to want a much, you know, much more in-depth like plan and like itinerary of where we're going, what we're doing. Do I need to bring like X amount of clothes for like nice dinners, or are we just kind of eating street food? Like, where are we going? What are we doing? What time do we need to be there? What's the plan? Where are we going beforehand? What time does the train leave? How early do you want to get to the train station? It was a lot of just and at a certain point, I think many of us have had this experience, whether it's traveling abroad or traveling here in the U.S., coming out to Napa, out in our area even, where at a certain point, your vacation starts to feel like work. And you're like, it just never ends. And there's no downtime. You're just going, going, going. It's one appointment. It's one reservation. And you're just crushed by the end of it. It's overwhelming. And it's something that even now, amongst some of you who are asking for suggestions, and whether it's coming out here or even going abroad to a place like Italy, it's the only really big piece of advice that I try and hammer into people is like, hey, here's the list of all the things that we did. By no means do you need to try and check off all of them. Also, you should probably have at least like that day, maybe two of downtime just to enjoy where you are and not have to feel like you're going just nonstop. It's something that, man, I couldn't suggest more. And I know there's some of you out there that you want to try and check as many boxes as you can. You want to go to as many places, try as many wines, eat as much food, do all these things. But I got to tell you, if there is one piece of advice I would give anybody, whether that you're a seasoned traveler or you're just getting into it, it's okay to take a day off and just enjoy a lackadaisical day. And it's where, when we started in Milan this on this trip, that's what that was. It was like, we're going to be here for, in essence, a day and a half, 2 days. Let's use it to get adjusted to the time zone. Let's use it to just walk around the city, take it easy, eat some good food, drink some good wine, and just, you know, just be here with little to no plan. Other than, again, like having those couple of quick like stops of like, okay, we know we want to go to the cathedral. We know we're going to have dinner at this place. Let's just do that. And anything outside of that, whatever happens, happens outside of that. And it's a little bit more casual. And then when we got to a place like this villa where everything's a little bit more contained, there's a little town nearby. It's like, oh, I almost have to like sit here and relax. Which I think many of us, you know, understand or had that feeling where it's like, it's tough to turn your brain off. It's tough to just take it easy. There's always something that needs to be done. There's always something to worry about. And the itinerary, the busy itinerary, can be that distraction away from that of saying, hey, I don't need to worry about this stuff because I'm so focused on this other thing over here. And in our travels, and I think for me personally, and this trip was a great example of it, it means a lot to be able to just take that day and decompress a little bit. yeah, your brain's probably going to race a little bit. Yeah, you might have a little bit of the FOMO and be wishing you were out somewhere doing something with somebody. But it's really nice just to be still for a little bit. It's just really nice to be still for a little bit. So that's something that is a huge suggestion that I give to everybody. That obviously we all want to pack it in. We want to see all the things, do all the things. But it is worth just taking it easy a little bit so you can actually enjoy what you're doing. Now, when we got to, you know, these specific locales, you know, how did we fill that, you know, time, like in between that kind of like gray area of like we have this dinner plan, but we've got, you know, 8 hours of daylight burning. What do we want to do? And this is what I suggest to folks. These are my another big like travel tip. If you are looking for a place to eat and there's a barker outside and there's a menu posted up with a bunch of pictures of what the food looks like, don't go there. Don't go there. It's very likely some tourist trap. It's probably going to be good, but it's not where you want to go. Trust me. What you want to do is go two blocks the other direction and find the place that's in this like cool little street where, yeah, maybe they don't speak English and you don't speak Italian, but you're going to figure it out because you like good food, they make good food, and it'll come out in the wash somewhere, right? So that is something that I also recommend is in any of these places, whether, you know, with some of the recommendations that we have in the description of this show, just, you know, pick one of them in that particular city and be like, all right, we're going to go to this part of town, and then we're just going to walk around. And if we find something cool, great. And if we don't, that's fine. We'll just keep it moving. We'll just keep it moving. And that is something that I can't, it's just beautiful to kind of get lost in this kind of gray area of travel where you have this itinerary, you have these kind of high points of where you want to be, but you know full well that there's going to be a lot of other stuff that you might miss if you don't take the time to walk some of those streets and cruise around some of those other neighborhoods. So utilizing what would otherwise be kind of like downtime to just explore, highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Because I'll tell you what, most of the stuff on the list that's posted in the description wasn't planned. It wasn't on an itinerary. Maybe a friend of ours had been there. Maybe someone had heard about it. Maybe we just saw some great reviews for it. And we're like, you know what? Let's walk over there. And if we see something beforehand that looks great, we'll stop there instead. And we just cruised around. That's how the overwhelming majority of this trip went. And that might be not enough structure for some of you. But maybe on the next trip, again, whether it's abroad or here in the U.S., give it a shot. Take a day and be like, you know what, we have a lunch stop here and a dinner stop there, but that means we got a few hours in between all those for, you know, around, you know, the late morning and, you know, early to mid-afternoon where we don't have a whole lot planned. We don't have a whole lot going on. So let's just see where we end up. Let's just see where we end up. It is a great way to experience a city, especially one that you've never been to before. You know, because the great thing about going back to a city, you know, whether you're coming back out our way or, you know, somewhere else that you love to go, is that there are familiar places for you to, like, be comfy. And it's kind of like that nice warm hug on the vacation. We're just like, oh, we're here. And it just feels so nice. And it's nice to have that. And something that we try and do, I think, in a lot of our own travels is we try and have kind of like those places that kind of feel like home away from home, that we, there is some familiarity. I think I'm saying that dumb, right? I'm saying that dumb, aren't I? I'm pretty sure I'm saying that dumb. We're going to reset 3, 2, 1. Places that you're familiar with so that you don't, you know, venture too far out of your comfort zone. That's also important. You don't want to feel lost and you don't want to be stressed, especially in a foreign land where you don't speak the language. Like my Spanish is definitely California seller Spanish. It's certainly not Spanish from Spain, and it's definitely not anywhere near Italian. But you know, there are some common threads, so you can kind of figure it out a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. But like for me, I don't want to get too lost. You still want to have kind of those hubs, right, where you can feel a little bit at home, be able to relax, kind of put your hair down and just chill out. So this trip was something that was, I think, much needed for us. It had been, like I was saying earlier, a couple of years since we had been abroad, almost 2 full years. We're very lucky that we're able to do so. We're very thankful to have an amazing group of friends that we were traveling with and, you know, be back in some familiar places, but also explore some new spots. And man, I'll tell you what, it is just, it was refreshing. If nothing more, it was refreshing. I don't know, for many, many of us out there, you know, travel can be tough. It can be expensive. You might have to worry about, you know, animals. We got our 3 cats at home. They're not kids, which does make it a little easier. Those of you with children, that makes, you know, it adds certainly an extra layer of complication when it comes to getting out and about. But whether it's, you know, we're doing like a little pseudo, I'm not even going to call it a camping trip. We're basically going up to a friend's property in Calistoga. I'm driving the bus up there. We're going to camp out for a night, maybe two. Just kick back, relax, a little like staycation kind of thing, just to like do a little escape and try and enjoy just a little bit of something, you know, here locally. And that might be, that can be challenging too, you know, even in your own neck of the woods, kind of finding that time to be like, you know what, we just need a night to be like a little staycation. We just need to like not be in our own place. We're going to go somewhere else, you know, and just enjoy a night. Just be away. Just kind of like relax a little bit. And I think it can be intimidating. You know, you hear about folks traveling abroad or trips like this and you're like, shoot, you know, between the time, the money, the everything, it doesn't work out. Or maybe just because of the language barrier, it's intimidating and you don't necessarily, my mom's like this. She finally started really traveling abroad in like the last couple of years and has just done 2 trips, one to France specifically and another to Italy. Really the first time, the trip to France, she actually won through the company that she works for, which was really cool, but she had never really traveled abroad before. And she was way out of her comfort zone. Speaking of people that like itineraries and knowing everything that's going on at all times, love you, Mom, but you're definitely one of those people. And as a result, you know, it put her in a place where it was like, oh, this is going to be a challenge. And she came back and they immediately planned the next trip with a couple of friends to go to Italy. So, you know, it's like once you get the travel bug, it's hard to shake it. I'll tell you that much. I will tell you that much. Whether it is doing something a little bit more grand, like traveling across a pond somewhere, or if it's just doing something cool here in the U.S., I mean, the national park systems that we have, the locales in some of our home states are just outstanding. There's a lot of amazing places to see and things to do, and it's worth trying to do as much of it as you can. I think it was, you know, an Anthony Bourdain quote. I'm probably going to butcher it, but it was like, travel far, travel wide, travel as often as you humanly can. You know, eat other people's food, drink their drink, and, you know, soak it all in. It's easy to get caught up in our little bubbles and kind of watch the world pass us by. So for those of you listening that maybe haven't traveled a lot or at all, or maybe it's just been a while, hopefully this serves as like a little inspiration of just to get out there and kind of get lost in it a little bit. Because it's worth it. It's challenging and it can be pricey, but man, it's worth the price of admission. I will tell you that much. We'll leave it at that. Again, if you want to see kind of where we ended up during this Italy trip, I know there were a few of you that messaged us about kind of where we went, what we did. You can see that list in the description of the video for each of the cities. We'll keep that posted there so you can kind of check it out. We'll also be posting it on our social media for those of you that need to check it out there. We'll post it again just so you have it kind of floating around. Thank you so, so much for tuning into the show. Appreciate you all. It's been amazing. We have some very fun episodes. I've been diving right back into some winemaking stuff, been attending a lot of seminars and a lot of meetings. We're going to get into some geeky winemaking stuff over the next couple weeks. It's gonna be a good time. I'm very excited for it. I hope you are as well. We'll be right back here next week with another episode of the Wind Up Podcast. Be sure to follow us on our socials at MTGA Wines, and we will catch you next time. Cheers.